I'm reading Luke 19, verses 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come when you, upon you, when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
A word of prayer. Lord, we do commit, Lord, the reading of Scripture that Martin has just read. Lord, a familiar passage to some. Lord, for those of us who are grown up in church-going Ireland, Lord, Palm Sunday and the readings were very familiar to us, Lord. And we pretty much knew the story without only half listening. But Lord, we're here this morning and our request is that we'd see something that's there that we hadn't seen before, or we need to see it in a new light and in a new perspective. Lord, that can only happen by the power of your Spirit. And so we help us to see, Lord, and to hear what it is you're saying to us, and then to show us, Lord, how that applies to where we're at, even this day. We ask this, Lord, for those in here in New Life, and those who listen on the web at another time, and all of God's people said, Amen. Palm Sunday for me as a young boy meant really one thing. 7 days more and I could eat sweets. It was the last Sunday of no sweets. It wasn't a legally enforced fast, but it was the next best thing. If you evaluated your life as a young boy, as a young child, giving up sweets was the equivalent of giving up tobacco. It was pretty much enforced upon you. One of my abiding members, memories of Palm Sunday was saying, "This is the last Sunday that I can't eat sweets." So, as you hear the story, I don't know what your memories of Palm Sundays are. But for many of us, it's familiar territory. And as we grew up, it never changed. It was the same, you know, year in, year out. Now, they might vary the readings depending on which gospel they might go for, you know, because there was a cycle to it. And it made no difference which denomination you were in. They were virtually all doing the same thing anyway. They were all reading from the same source. So for most people, you had to go. You just showed up. You put in the time. And I'm sure for those who were off the drink or cigarettes were probably counting the days the same as we were with the sweets. Now some of you may be much more holy than I was, and you were contemplating and reflecting on Holy Week. And maybe if you are, God bless you, then you should be up here speaking and not me. But we can always give you a shot next year. That's what we can. Anyway, we've just read the reading. Martin has just read for us the familiar story of Jesus coming in to Jerusalem on what is Palm Sunday. And the facts are pretty well known. We know what happened. People spread out palms, their jackets, and they welcomed him triumphantly. And we know that eventually it led to trouble. But that's as far as it went for us, wasn't it? We went through it, but we didn't see any real connection, for the most part. Certainly not as young people. And certainly not if you're concentrating on sweets. So having just read the passage, I want to ask you a question. What do you see in that passage? Because that's the question the Lord was challenging me with, or I was challenging the Lord with, as I looked at it. What in the heck am I going to say that hasn't been said before? So what do you see? Because, and we'll answer that question as we move along through the passage, there's some very obvious things that were seen, but there was also some things that weren't seen. 1 Corinthians 2:14, in turn to it, I just put the verse here, says this, and this is an important theme. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You can look at something profoundly spiritually and really miss what's really going on. Because to really engage in what is going on, you have to be spiritually aware. You can be at a religious service, pick any denomination, you could even be in here with us, and still not understand a blessed thing that is said, which has nothing got to do with a Cork accent. Because spiritual truth is picked up spiritually speaking. So what do you see, and what do you actually discern? Well, the truth is, we all see at the natural level. That's where we begin. I think you agree with that. And when we, Martin read the passage there, and when we look at it, we know, we'll take from verse 37 on. It's fairly handy. He'd given instructions about getting the donkey, the colt, coming back. And then the procession, as we would know it, started. We know the story, right? So we would see Jesus coming, and a big gang of people behind him, people in front of him, throwing down palms, and we know from verse 37, when he came near the place, down the road to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So at the natural level, that's exactly what we would see if we were a visitor to Jerusalem that time, or if we were part of the procession. You'd see people in front, people behind, Jesus on a donkey, and this tremendous jubilant celebration. Something major is about to happen. All that is seen at the natural level. And we're picking that information up by all our senses. We all agree with that. That's pretty much how it works. And then verse 38 says, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And obviously the Hosanna thing as well. So there was a tremendous sense of anticipation going on. Some people had already discerned spiritually who Jesus was, though they didn't fully understand the implications of all of what it was meant to be, the Messiah. They had their own thinking, as people have today, what Jesus should and shouldn't do. As far as they were concerned, obviously, he was coming to re-establish the kingdom and boot out, Roman authority, and that again, that the people of God would be sovereign, God would be over them, and to be back to the good times of Solomon. And that would have been the anticipation, and that would have been part of the praise and the expectation But they were praising God, as you see in verse 37, in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So at a natural level, we all saw that. Now, when we went to church, we didn't actually see that. We just heard about it and we were able to imagine it. And then when things like Jesus of Nazareth came out and the Jesus story and that, you know, you got a kind of a glimpse of what it would look like. But that's seen at the natural level. And that's one way to see it. But seen at the natural level, well, it really is the ability to take in what's happening all around you, isn't it? That's what we do with it. And once we kind of take that in, then we move to the next phase, which is simply this. Then, based on what we have seen and that, you know, we form our perceptions. And we begin to interpret and evaluate what's happening. Now, we do that automatically. It just happens. What's happening there? Let's go and have a look. And as you go and have a look, you're automatically forming your opinion, or you're getting your perspective on it, and you're interpreting and you're evaluating. That's what happens all the time. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong, but that's all happening at the natural level. And then when you have your perception and your interpretation and evaluation, all that made, which can happen very quickly, then you make a judgment call. Thumbs up, thumbs down, or undecided. The only problem with the undecided is Jesus never gave the option for the undecided. You were either for him or against him. There was no abstaining voting. In Jesus' kingdom, you either had to go, if you sat on the fence, it was a no. The only thing they would work for, a yes was a yes, anything else was a no. But that's seen at the natural level. Now, people saw the crowd, they heard the praising. There were several people obviously visiting Jerusalem for the Passover, and they saw all of that at the natural level. And we can assume, and we can even look at a minute, or two verses, that they formed their opinions based on their interpretation and their evaluation of what was really was going on, and they made a judgment call. So far, you with me? Nothing there that you would disagree with. I think that's kind of how it works, most of the time anyway. Then, okay, so that's what they saw. They saw everything at the natural level, and they made a judgment at the natural level. But at the natural level, it's all human wisdom. That's what it is. Because the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they're discerned spiritually. You can form of opinions, you can evaluate, you can judge, you make a judgment call. But you're still only operating at a natural level. Now, there's one problem with the human wisdom and the natural level is, and it's seen in the next verse. You can be deeply religious and still only naturally, still only operating on the natural level. Because among the group of disciples that were praising and shouting God, in the middle of all of that, you had there, I think there in verse 39, seen only at the natural level are deeply religious leaders. And they're seen at the natural level. And here's what they said. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Because, why? Well, let me put a moral twist on it. Policies, procedures, and protocol. That kind of thing was out of place. Shouldn't be happening. And they certainly shouldn't be doing it to the likes of Jesus. He wasn't recognized by the religious authorities. So when they looked and when they sieved and when they formed their, well, they already had well formed their opinion of Jesus and how they evaluated him, they saw only at the natural level. And the only comment they could make is, what is happening here is out of order and at the very least is breaking protocol. No, you'd say something if they were profound atheists. But these were religious, professional people. Here's God in human flesh, standing in front of him or close by him. And they're saying to him, out of order, seen only at the natural level. The point I'm making is you could have been 10 feet or 3 meters, to keep it current in case someone listens to me, and see Jesus in the natural and go no further with it. So you see, what do you see? What you see, based on how you evaluate and how you judge, you could have a human opinion and be totally wrong or miss the main point. That's what the Pharisees did. Some of them, policies, procedures, and protocol. Jesus' answer to them is verse 40. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. This was a major event, and it was hugely significant, and there was much more going on than what anyone realized. And for heaven, we're going to shout out, this was going to be hugely significant. But the lads underground could only see that protocol wasn't being kept. Deeply religious, but stuck with human wisdom. What did they see? Somebody giving praise that only God should give. So can you see, when you ask the question, what do you see? Let me put that into where we were at. We often went to Palm Sunday in force, for the most part, and we came out no better off than we went in. And if we didn't say it verbally, we thought it the same old story, same old. True? We merely acted at a human level. What did you see? There's nothing to see here. We've been there, we've done that before. Nothing new in us. Human wisdom. All right. But the natural man does not receive the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. You can be deeply religious. You can be very knowledgeable and yet lack the perception to see who Jesus really is and what he's really up to. That's one of the lessons it teaches us, doesn't it? Anyway, what do you see? That's the negative side. Well, the other side is not very positive either, but it gives us a different perspective. Seeing at the spiritual level. Now, the only person that saw at the spiritual level that day was Jesus. Now, while there was tremendous praise going on, tremendous jubilant, there was hassle coming from the Pharisees, as one would expect. Jesus stops. And he sees something that nobody else could see. And this he comments on then, and this is in verse 42. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Now, sometimes when people weep at a celebration, they're overcome with the emotion and the sense of joy. You know what I mean? It's a very happy. But this is not the situation here. He is stirred to the core of his being. And he is seen at a spiritual level that nobody else is seeing. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. So there was a form there of judgment that was already coming. Truth had been put out there, and truth had been rejected. And he was saying that he had come in peace. But what he was offering, many had rejected. Some had, but many had. But it's not hidden from your eyes. And then he goes on to say, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and circle you and hem you in on every side. And then he describes what it's going to be like in the warfare. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Spiritually speaking, Jesus could see the consequences of the spiritual blindness of the vast amount of people who were there. At the natural level, everyone saw this man coming in a donkey, and they could see the celebrations, the jubilant, and all of that. At the natural level, the Pharisee could see the breaking of protocol. Only Jesus could see what was coming down the road as a result of the rejection. He was seen at a spiritual level. The others were only seen at the most at a natural level. And those who were following weren't privy to what was going to come down the road. How would they know? But they heard and they saw that he was deeply moved by this. Seeing only at a natural level leads to several things. The first thing I want to highlight simply is this. Spiritually blind sizes. How do I know that? Verse 42, you better look at it there in your own scriptures. If I can find it myself. Turn over the page, Pat. And he said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your sight. When you look at only the natural level, and it only remains at that, it is very easy to be spiritually blindsided. And that's exactly what happened on that day. People were being spiritually blindsided. They saw Jesus in front of them, and it still made no difference. Because natural man and the spirit of the God doesn't make any sense. All you have is human wisdom and human evaluation. If you, even you, had only known on this day, and now he says, but it is now hidden from you. Spiritually blindsided. When you only remain and solely depend on human wisdom. That's the first lesson I learned from it. Can you see if I ask the question, what do you see? Second one that happens, spiritually oblivious. They had no idea of what rejection, what would ultimately cost them in the here and the now. The days will come, he says in verse 43, when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. Jesus came to bring peace from that would be within, that would have stopped that natural rebellion that took place and that the Roman troops came in and absolutely decimated the place. The cost of rejecting, Jesus could see. But they were spiritually oblivious to it. Seeing only at the natural level can make us spiritually oblivious to trouble that's coming down the road as a result. It doesn't take much of a jump to apply that to where we're at as a nation. Being spiritually oblivious to the things of God will naturally mean trouble and trouble down the road. But spiritually oblivious, seen only in the natural. Third thing I see in it is spiritually ignorant or spiritual ignorance. How do I know this? Because Jesus comments on it. It's not my interpretation. He goes on to say, they will dash you to the ground and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone along another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Seeing only in the natural, understanding only in the natural, interpreting only in the natural will result in not recognizing the time of God coming to you. God was only meters away from them and they still didn't recognize it because they operated on the natural level. Even the religious operated on the natural level, human wisdom. So, when I was praying about this, and I didn't have this until last night, the question is, what do you see? What do you see? Application. In your spiritual walk with Jesus, Palm Sunday has come and gone. It's not going to happen again. But you are walking with him now. And here's a question that you need to ask, that I need to ask. So, what do you see as you're walking with him? What do you see? How you answer that question really will depend. And what level are you looking at? Natural or spiritual? Human wisdom can only get you so far. Spiritual perception that is given by the Spirit of God through the Word of God is what opens our eyes, ultimately spiritually. So what do you see? You can see with eyes at a natural level. But if you're walking with Jesus, then there is an ability given to you to see with spiritual eyes, a spiritual perspective on things, inasmuch as He chooses to reveal that to you as you walk with Him. So what do you see will depend on what level you're looking at. The reason why I came out of Palm Sunday just thinking 8 days and I can eat sweets, what level was I at? Natural. What did I miss? Pretty much everything. Pretty much everything. But I showed up. So can you see how important it is to know at what level you're actually operating? Operating in the natural, you're no better off at the end of it than you are at the beginning of it. Operating in the spiritual as best you can, it changes things. And the first thing it changes is perspective. And that's so important. But the natural man does not receive the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You can gain in knowledge. You can be very knowledgeable in matters of religious things and still completely operate on human wisdom. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are proof of that. And you can be completely blindsided to what is really going on and what the Lord is doing. You can be spiritually oblivious to what's coming down the road because you're still in the human psychic and natural, I'm walking at that level. And you can be spiritually ignorant and not recognize the thing of the Lord doing right in front of you, simply and solely because you're operating on human wisdom. And how do you know that? You'll form your opinion, you'll evaluate, and then you'll make your judgment call on us. The tremendous danger and the lesson that's learned from Palm Sunday was simply this. Too many people made judgment calls at the natural level and failed to see what was actually going on in the spiritual. And it would be fine if it was only theoretical. But what Jesus saw in the spiritual became a reality 30 years later for many of the residents of Jerusalem when Rome sent in an army to conquer us. He had come to bring peace at a human level. They said, that is not what we want. And the only one who could see what was coming down the road spiritually was Jesus. The others didn't see it. The disciples heard it, and obviously they recorded it because they were operating on a spiritual level. Even though it was all our things, they didn't get right, but they were still operating on a spiritual level. So what do you see? What level are you at, the natural or the spiritual? That is what the Lord gave me to give to you and ultimately to give to myself. Lord, we simply pray. It's so easy to go on the natural level because, Lord, that's where we're comfortable. That's where we have to form our opinions, our judgments, our evaluations, and then, Lord, ultimately what we're going to do with it. And, Lord, it's only your mercy, Lord, this day that you have opened our eyes to see is what is really going on in the spiritual realm that is really what matters. And Lord, that is what ultimately what you are doing in and through your people. And that your purposes and that your kingdom is being established. Lord, we haven't got the wisdom to see what's coming down the road for us as a nation. But Lord, we know it's going to bring trouble. Lord, when the offer of peace is rejected, when the offer of the rule of Jesus is rejected, then, Lord, it opens the door up for something, Lord, horrendous to happen. And Lord, we don't want to be doomsday people, but ultimately, Lord, it is not good news, Lord, of when you are rejected. Lord, because evil can easily step in. Lord, the second thing I learned is, Lord, we think we're so wise in operating at the natural human level. Lord, we're as blind today as, Lord, many of what the people were in Jerusalem on that day. So, Lord, not much has learned. Lord, for those of us in I am part of this religious community, Lord, may you continue to open our eyes and may we never, Lord, depend on human wisdom in relation to the things of God. And all of God's people said,